We got to talk some Eagles Giants here with this gentleman who comes with a great deal of accreditation. Former Eagle linebacker Gary Cobb, also co-host of Fox 29 Eagles Pregame Live and the G. Cobb Birds Report weekly podcast, presented exclusively by Parks Casino. Good morning, Gary.
How you guys doing? I'm doing great. I'm ready to get a taste of those playoffs.
Hopefully. There you go. Ready to get a taste. Well, first off, you got all the gifts that you wanted, Gary. I know you're a tough guy to buy for.
Well, I guess so. You know, I had a niece just got married, so it was going through the whole all of the festivities last night and everything. That was a lot of fun. But I got pretty much all I want. But you know what I want? I want some playoffs, man.
All right. So the season will be.
I want some Eagles in the playoffs. Yeah.
So if the Eagles make it, of course, it'll be a success. You hear that, Joe? Okay, Joe Torti?
I don't think Gary said that. Let's not put words in Gary's mouth.
Well,
now.
I think that's what I'm hearing Gary saying, that the season's a success no matter what the expectations are. But, Gary, let me start you off with this one here, is that I made a reference to Joe in the first hour that Saquon Barkley can wreck this game by himself, and he's playing very good football right now. So what do the Eagles need to do with this guy to prevent a 61-yard touchdown run in the first quarter that turns the whole game on its head?
Well, you know, the big thing, everybody's got to be aware of where he's lining up every time. I mean, he is really, I know some people think I might be going too far. He's kind of a generational talent. I have seen very few running backs. In the time that I've been looking at football, and it's been since back in the early 60s or mid-60s, this guy has talent that's phenomenal. And if you just give him a little crack, he can take it to the house, meaning he's got the type of speed, 4-2 speed. And they were nicknamed him when he first got there with the Giants. They called him Saquon Barkley because the guy's legs are so big that to tackle him, you know, around the legs, just one-on-one, he is just really tough to deal with. So they got to make sure that if you got him as assignment, let's say in pass, you don't give it any room. Make him throw the ball to somebody else. Go up there and get on him. Don't give him any room. And then every time he touches the ball, you got to be in your lane because he can do different things to get an opening. And if he were to get a step on anybody on the defense, he's gone because he's faster than anybody lining up on the Eagles defense because the guy is just a burner fast. He really concerns me, and if I were playing linebacker for the Eagles tomorrow, I wouldn't get any sleep tonight. So he definitely is an amazing weapon for the Giants, but he's just one of them. That's why I'm really concerned about this game.
Gary, on the flip side, Eagles offensively, confidence in Carson Wentz has probably been at an all-time high at this point. How do you balance how well Carson's playing with, you know, the fact that he hasn't been playing against what you'd call primo competition the last 3 weeks?
Well, you know, you got to look at who he's playing with. Now, regardless of who he's playing against, he's going into the battle now. You've got, you know, rookies you're playing with, you know, like, you know, Miles Sanders, even though he's an outstanding young player. He's throwing the ball to people like Boston Scott and Greg Ward, guys that were on the practice squad. And the big thing Carson has done is he is just executing the West Coast offense the way it was really designed, which is he's getting rid of the ball quickly. He's not accurate all the time, but in those short passes, he's getting more accurate. I saw a play last week where he threw the ball to Miles Sanders, and he got it to him so quick, Miles was able to catch the ball in stride, and he went down the sideline for 29 yards on a play that really was a no-big-deal play. But because Carson got the ball to him accurately and on the run, he was able to, you know, get some great yardage. And then also another play later in the game to Greg Ward where Carson put the ball right on him. So Carson, he's getting rid of the ball faster. He seems to be believing in the offense more. And I just like the way this team is executing their plays because they don't have this amazing talent out there right now with these different guys from the practice squad playing. But they're doing a great job of executing the plays. And I've got to give kudos to Doug Peterson. I thought they did a great job last week in the way they were able to execute and the plays they called and the way they kept Dallas off balance, I just thought he did a great job in the last few games. I think this team is really getting everything they can out of their talent. And, I don't know how far they're going to go, but I think they've done a great job to get to the point that they're at where they've got a chance to go to the playoffs despite all the injuries they've had.
All right, Gary. I was talking with Joe earlier about the Giants' defense. Joe just mentioned how it's not a very good defense. They're minus 15 in net takeaways. They only have 10 interceptions on the season. So in terms of a game plan, you know, the Eagles' wide receivers, I mean, they're brand new guys, and everybody's got Greg Ward, I know, in the Hall of Fame. But you know, it's not a seasoned group. You have Jordan Howard back. Is it a good idea, perhaps, given that this team does not take the ball away, to not give him a chance to take the ball away, instead try and pound it maybe with Sanders and with Howard?
Well, I think you are going to see some of that. I think Miles will be the guy getting the most of the runs, but I think they're going to work Jordan in, you know, to see where he's at right now as he, you know, gets back into the lineup. So I do expect them to run the ball because they want to keep it away from the Giants, too. So they would like, you know, methodical, long drives, and that's where the Eagles are right now. I tell you, what's fascinating is really the Eagles right now remind me of the Patriots because both of these teams have the same offense. Short passes, running game, long drives, because they really don't have deep threats. And the Eagles are doing a great job of focusing, not having anybody make any mistakes, no turnovers, because they really can't afford turnovers because the Eagles aren't going to score that many points because they don't have the big-time speed weapons. So it's going to be methodical drives where it's going to be, you know, a lot of third downs they're going to have to convert. And they're going to have maybe the longest play is going to be 20 to 30 yards, but they're not going to make the mistake and then execute in the red zone. So every time you get there, you get a touchdown. That's the way the Eagles win right now. And like I said, very similar to what the Patriots are doing.
Gary, Greg Ward's been a little bit of a revelation during the time that he's stepped into a starting role. And a lot of Eagles fans have been asking me this. I'm just going to pass it right along to you. How in the world could the Eagles evaluate everything objectively and say, yeah, this Nelson Aguilar guy's got it and Greg Ward does not?
Well, the thing about Aguilar is really faster. He's got, he can get deep better. But Greg Ward has better hands. Even if you look at him in practice, he catches everything. And I think maybe with a guy like Carson Wentz, you need some guys on the team like Ward who are going to catch the ball regardless of where he throws it. If he throws it a little behind him, like in the Cowboy game, like one of the early plays in the game on the first drive, Greg Ward runs a slant route and Carson really throws it behind him. But he just caught it. You know, he's got great hands. If it's anywhere near him, he's going to catch it. Of course, Zach Ertz is a similar. But I think they need some receivers like that in the lineup because, you know, Carson has a problem with accuracy. So I think the big thing they need is they need to make sure that he's got some guys in his lineup that are going to catch the ball regardless of where he throws it, even if they give up a little speed because you're not going to get perfectly thrown balls by Carson, but if you got guys with great hands, I think they fit Carson. So I think that's something where, looking at it in the past, you know, they always looked at Nelson and said, "Well, Aguilar is the guy we want out there because he's faster." But if you're going to be dropping too many passes, you don't need a guy like that, especially with Carson, because he's not the most pinpoint passer. So I think it's a matter of getting receivers that fit the quarterback.
All right, Gary, out of respect for you and your long NFL career, including a stopover in with the Star, I saved this for you, pal. I just want you to tell me, give me your thoughts on what the hell is going on in Dallas, Texas. The team that had a three-game losing streak then shows up against my beloved Rams and kills them, and then a week later assumes the prior persona and was just terrible last week against Philadelphia. What's going on in Dallas, and is there any chance now there are major changes coming to that organization in the offseason?
I think there are going to be some changes coming. I don't know if what they really need is going to happen. because the big thing that needs to happen is Jerry Jones has got to stay away from the players. Because when you have an owner that gets close to the players, the coach has no power. You know, he's best just a figurehead, because if he tells the guy, hey, look, you know, you better get out here and run harder, I'm going to sit you down. He goes, man, who do you think you're talking to? I'm going to go talk to Jerry. I don't ever worry about you. You know, I'm going to talk to the owner. Right. So you've got a situation where the coach really doesn't have any power. And in a game like football, which is a game where you've got to have the ability to really punish guys and push guys, because it's not the most comfortable sport, and you got to be disciplined and you got to be able to crack the whip some, I think that's what the Cowboys need, because I've never seen a team come out and play as lackadaisical in a game that could have put them in the playoffs. If I were the owner, I would have fired the coach at halftime. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, to have a team come out there and play that lifeless when a game that was that big. It's really pathetic. And I think, you know, they should just apologize for even coming out on the field. I would have been embarrassed if I played for the Cowboys the way they played last week. So they definitely need some changes, but I don't know if they're ever going to. Jerry's going to always be going down there, getting close with the players, and he's really destroying his own product.
Yep. All right, well, that's the way it's playing out, because I don't think they're going to make it tomorrow. Gary, I said to Joe in the first hour, that by no means is it a lock that they're going to beat Washington tomorrow. I mean, well, you know, the Redskins are every bit as feisty as the Giants right now, closing out the season, and I don't think that's any more of a gimme.
I agree with you. I would not be surprised if Dallas lost to the Redskins. And I tell you what, the Eagles are going to have their work cut out with the Giants, too, because that Daniel Jones and Barkley, man, those guys concern me.
Yep. All right, listen, Gary, we want to touch base here on the GCOB Birds Report Weekly podcast. Tell me what's on it this week, and how long does the podcast continue in terms of rolling through the postseason?
Well, you know, the big thing that we're doing is, of course, we're you know, going through and looking at this game against the Giants, and really analyzing, you know, the fact that this is a game where people that just got the Eagles in the playoffs, they don't need to think that way, because with Barkley and Jones and the weapons they have, and remember the way the kid, that wide receiver they had up there, the way he burnt the Eagles a couple of weeks ago. They got a lot of weapons. The Giants really have more weapons than the Eagles. That's the thing in this game. So we get into all that and talk about this game. And, of course, we start looking into the playoffs, and we talk a bit about the playoffs and what's ahead. And we plan on continuing, you know, to talk about, you know, what's going on with the Eagles, and hopefully the Eagles go to the playoffs and give us something to talk about, you know, as we go forward. But we really give you a chance to look behind the scenes and see really what's going to be up with this game tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.